Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again this week and share this hour with you. It's always so much fun, and I'm looking so forward to it. I hope everybody's doing great. We're getting ready to run through the end of the year and holiday seasons, and I love those times of year when everybody's actually usually nicer to everybody. No, it's all good, and many of you listen to this in the future on archives and downloads, and for those of you who've never heard us before, welcome, welcome. And so that's what I love about the way we can listen to these shows these days. And today we are going to spend the entire hour on talking about Detroit, Michigan. And Detroit, Michigan's gone through many, many changes. For those of you, and most people always think of Detroit, Michigan as the auto city where, you know, the automobile industry started in many ways. And I'm thrilled to have, we have a guest on today who lives in Detroit, works in Detroit. I'm so excited to hear her insights on Detroit. And if you're ever thinking right now of investing or buying or even moving to Detroit and are not familiar with it, it's always worth it to hear firsthand. Nicole A. Carter, she is with Virtual Real Estate Services, LLC. She lives and sells real estate. She's a real estate agent in Detroit and has a passion for local and international real estate. She truly has her hands in all of it. She works with first-time buyers and seasoned buyers in residential and commercial, including multifamily acquisitions and sales. And I'll let her tell us more about her history, which is exciting, and she's very energetic, cares about people, all the things we need in today's world, and especially when you're in real estate dealing with huge investments of people's lives, et cetera. She's going to talk about Detroit and give us golden nuggets, and plus the business side and personal side and all the way around. If we can get her to, we'll get her to share everything that we can, huh? And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Nicole A. Carter. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How's your weather over there? Is it getting pretty nippy?
Well, you know, if you call about 9 inches dumped on us in the last 48 hours.
Oh, no, you got, I wasn't watching the weather. Are you, you have snow now? Oh, my. Oh.
Yeah.
Just today?
Falls, everything. Yeah, it just kind of like, it started snowing one morning, and it didn't stop until the next morning. Good old Michigan, you never know.
I'm not ready for that weather yet. I'm not ready for it. I'm in Maryland right now. I'm not in Hawaii, but I'm so used to Hawaii that I've gotten away from the winter. But we just had, it was warm a couple days ago, and now it's in the 20s. So I think that's happening in a lot of places, right? One day it's cold, the next day it's hot.
Yeah, well, except for here. It was 7 degrees this morning, so...
I'll take 20 some degrees.
It's a little early this year, but you know, in Michigan you have to stay ready. So just like, you know, in real estate you stay ready. So it'll be fine.
Michigan, I think you have longer winters up there, don't you? It's pretty cold,
I would think,
huh? Compared to
you settle in, you just know what's happening, you know. So you get the boots out and you get a really cute coat or two, and because that's all people will see for quite a while is your coat. So
do you have a lot of winter activities there?
Well, yeah, I mean, downtown, we have a great, something called the Winter Blast, which is a fun festival. We have, like, Noel Night, which is a lot of, like, caroling, and a lot of going from business to business, shuttles. It's really, you know, they do a lot of fun things. We have ice skating downtown at Campus Martius, which is right in front of our huge CompuWare Midtown building. So that's, you know,
we do
have some fun stuff. Yeah, some heated tents and things like that. So, yeah, and you see more and more coming as developments finish up. And so it's fun. It's getting fun. I love it.
Yeah, they make it. So before we dig into Detroit, because I have lots of questions, and I'm sure listeners will, because there's so many, you know, we hear good things, bad things, in-between things, you know, it's because it's such a well-known city.
Yeah.
Tell us about you. Tell us about your history and what got you into real estate and how you chose Detroit as well.
Well, I'll tell you, growing up, my mom and dad had a varied group of friends. And one thing I noticed growing up is that all of their friends who seemed to be doing really well had some real estate component, you know, investments, real estate components. And I just knew that I wanted to do good and be good and live well and make sure my family was well. And so it just seemed, you know, along the lines of art and, you know, community events, it just always seemed like something that drew me in. I love business, probably equal to how I love art and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it was time to go to school, I actually started a fashion design school and art school. And then ended up in business because I had a professor who saw something in me and said, hey, you know, I know you love arts. I know you speak really well. And why don't you look at business? And I said, you know, I always thought about it. So I kind of looked into it, and he bought me the application for the business school the next class. Like, you're going to do it. Like, we could use someone like you in business. And it kind of, from there, you know, I got accepted. And I actually already had a business plan in mind that I wanted to execute. So I kind of moved towards that. And it seemed like, again, everyone I met who was doing really well in business had a varied portfolio that included, of course, real estate. So, you know, something,
right,
you know, put a pin in it, you know. So I, as I stated prior, I was like a fashion design student, fashion and art minor. So I still,
that's,
you know,
exciting,
though.
No?
Yeah, it's a passion of mine. It still is a passion of mine, the arts. And so I did that, still on the side, and had a consulting business. And so I had that in undergrad. And
what were you doing with the consulting? What were you consulting on? Art, fashion? Arts, what?
Fashion, style, and I would do speaking engagements with the College of Business. So when we would have, say, like career fairs or things like that, when they were getting ready to start interviewing seniors and things like that, I would come in and I would do wardrobe seminars because I worked ever since I was like 15. I worked in retail, and I would dress people, and people would ask for me specifically to dress them, and they just appreciated my style. So it just kind of kept going from there, started modeling, and so people would just kind of tap me for my style acumen. And so I just did it, put it into like a workshop. And
I love it.
While I was still an undergrad. Yeah, kind of crazy kid, you know, and so I did that and worked with some local businesses to get some deals for some students. Like, say they could go get their suits tailored or get a discount at the local store to get a suit or something like that. So I just did that while I was an undergrad and opted out of one of my like COB, College of Business 100 class. I said, hey, I don't want to sit in this class. What if I just wrote a business plan for the entire semester, like a real deal business plan, instead of going to class every day? And the professor was like, oh, okay, like that seems interesting. And he's like, you know what? Yeah, why don't you do that? And
they
so
let
I
you
did.
Do that? That's
like,
fantastic.
Yeah. Someone told me a long time ago, if you don't ask, you don't get. You'll never know.
You know, I always say that constantly. You never know, because all they can say is no, right? They can never.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so you did it. You wrote the, and with a plan on the style, fashion business, what was it?
It was. So I did that, and it was successful. It was about an 80-page business plan, and I did that. And then from there, I kept going. I was president of the Rotary International Club.
Mm-hmm.
At the
I love that.
It's called Rotaract, because I've always had a strong feel for community and doing for others. And I love the global connection. I've always been intrigued with other cultures and the global community. So I kind of started that. Do you know about?
Oh, that's how Realty Universal. It's not supposed to be just in one place, but yeah. So, go ahead.
That's right.
I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, no, that's totally the way I like to think and the way I like to do business and the way I like to live my life, which is with the global flair. So, that being said, I did the Rotary International, and we went ahead and did the. Lots of community service while I was there, dealing with literacy. Mm-hmm. I love, love, love reading. I love academia. And that's always something that I get into no matter what I'm doing at the time. And we started doing also Meals on Wheels. Like, so we would go in the community and take the meals to the people and just, you know, find ways to give back. So that was really dear to me. So moving out of college, I won a couple of awards, like a Wall Street Outstanding Business Student Award, which I had no idea what that was.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was totally a shock and surprise, and I'm like, what? And so it gave me a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, which I had never read before. So reading it, and then I see, of course, real estate is talking about, you know, the markets and, you know, and all this thing. This was, like, unfamiliar to me at the time, the language. And so I just kept reading the books and, you know, okay, huh, it's very interesting again. But I went ahead and graduated. My degree was international business and marketing. And
still
doing
so
a little bit of,
yeah.
What's that?
The international, you say you mixed it together. That's really good. I mean, it does still work with your... go ahead. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Because I didn't want to put myself in a hole and not be able to be creative. And so I figure, you know, with all of the things that I want to do, I figured that international business was broad enough, but would give me a great foundation for whatever direction I needed to go in. Because as an artist, as a creative, you know, we like to stay fluid, of course. So that was always a thing for me. I think so. From there, I actually took a job in fashion, working as an assistant to a regional director for BCBG. I don't know if you've heard of this, BCBG Mac Avria. And
what is it? What's it called?
Like BCBG Mac Avria. So
okay,
he's a designer, ready to wear, high end, trying to fit a high end. And so I worked as a sales manager, and I worked a lot my last year, really, of college, right into, you know, probably 4 or 5 years after college. And I continued to do fashion styling, and, you know, it's a very unique position to be in, but you learn how to be pretty much an entrepreneur, an executive in your own right and get stuff done. Like, it made you, you know, cross-disciplinary, because I had to market myself, I had to network, I had to manage books, I had to make deals happen, you know, budgets, and manage different types of employees, and production management, which, if you think about it, all those things are very necessary in real estate, because I look at every single deal as a production, like, literally
and managing
have to
many personalities and different emotions.
Oh. You know, like I'm telling you, like, you know. So it's, you know, it was always the thing. So I feel very prepared to be in real estate coming from that industry.
Absolutely. I think most people, if they're not in it, have no idea how much juggling there is and handling all the different emotions, and whether even commercial is different than residential, but I don't think a lot of people would realize the amount of versatility you must have. I always used to say they should give us a PhD in real estate in psychology after years of it.
Oh my God.
But
seriously. No, it's true. And, you know, it actually, like, I think in my case dealing with a luxury clientele early on and, like, the ad industry, which can be very uptight with high budgets and deadlines, right? So I think it really was a great, PhD program for me in dealing with high-priced items, you know? I'm like, oh, if I could sell a $10,000 blazer and make it make sense, I'm pretty sure I could sell this house, you know. It just, it was
exactly.
It was wild, a transition, and I ended up moving. I got married and blah, 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 the whole nine, I had a baby. And
congratulations.
Thank you. That was a long time ago. about 14
How old
years
your
ago,
baby?
Oh, I have two now. So I have an 11-year-old. The baby I'm speaking of is now 11. And I also have a 7-year-old. So
congratulations.
Thank you. And you have a son.
Best part
right?
of life. Oh, my baby's an older person now. Yeah, I have one son. He's amazing. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
I had the child. I had the one child, and I was walking back at Nordstrom. As a personal stylist and doing consulting work. And my husband, who was in the entertainment industry, went to New York to do a deal, and the deal went through. And so he called me like, hey, you got to move to New York. So I said, oh, really? Okay. So,
yeah, so you moved. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a man of action. So.
Yeah.
He's like, we're moving. I'm like, okay. So I continued consulting for a couple of years while we were there. At that time, the baby was two.
Wow.
And New York is a great place to go and see how amazing real estate can be, you know. And so
absolutely.
I was there. Yeah, it was great. Of course, in New York, it's very rental heavy, right? So lots of rentals.
Because it's so expensive, right? Per square foot, it's so expensive. Is that why it's so rental
heavy,
do you think, or? Do you think that's why?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, you know, to purchase something like, say, a two-bedroom apartment, it's going to be like $500,000, you know. So you think,
Up to $20 million, right? You're right. It's a different world. Absolutely a different world. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's totally such a unique place in terms of real estate. But it definitely gave me a wider view on real estate and how it plays such a role in, you know, in stability and wealth building and community. So again, it was just kind of like a touch point. Then let's see. So yeah, we stayed there. He traveled a lot, so I did not really work outside the home besides a little consulting. What happened is afterwards we moved back after the second baby back to Detroit. So this is about 3.5-4 years later. We moved back to Detroit for, you know.
So did you miss it so much? Is that why you moved back, or what? Because family or what?
Well, honestly, it's really expensive, and then when you have kids and you don't have family there, it's, you know,
right.
It can be
very
a bit
hard.
Much. It can be a bit much, and at the time, my husband traveled quite a bit out of the country for extended periods, so it was rough. So it was the right thing to do. And when we came back, it was the end of 2012. And my little one was maybe like 2 or 3 months old. And so it was kind of the time in real estate where things were still, you know, kind of flatline, building back up.
Right, right. It was just coming out of, depending on where you were, we were coming out of that lull. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was an interesting time. But I did, I went back to Nordstrom when I came back after a little while, just to do something, and was like, you know what, this doesn't fit my life anymore. And I thought, what would I do? You know, what have I always wanted to do? You know, where I can make money and still kind of control my schedule a little bit to be there for the children. And real estate came up. And I mentioned it to a girl, my best friend at the time, who still lived in Brooklyn. And a couple of days later, she was like, did you check your email? And I'm like, no. She was like, oh, my God, I bought you a Groupon for a real estate class. And I said, oh. So that's how it kind of came down the pipe. So I
good.
Took class. Yeah, so it was, I got started about 7.5 years ago.
Congratulations.
Took class. I did it every Thank you. I think I went, I was still working at the time full time, so I just went every night after class, you know, new mom. So it was a crazy time, but I got it done and started working at Real Estate One. That was my first broker.
Wow.
So,
and you knew the area pretty,
enough.
You knew the area so well, so that was probably the geography and everything. You just mainly had to learn the rules, the laws, contracts, but you were pretty up to date on Detroit, so that was a
mm-hmm.
big plus to be able to know your area so well. Wow.
Yeah.
So you, and then you went, when did you go to Virtual Real Estate Services?
Okay, so I've been there for a little over a year. So I went with them about a year and probably 3 months now.
Wow. And the other one you were with for like 6 years, did you just kind of shift over because it was time, or was it something that the company offered, or what had you, because usually when we shift, there's a reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, after Real Estate One, actually, no one tells you when you get your real estate license that you have to build, you know, it's going to take some time to actually build a working business, right? So
2 to 3 years, you can
I,
do it if you really work hard. Yeah.
So the first, you know, the first year, I felt like I was just bleeding, you know, all over the place. Like it was just, you know, pain, dusties, this, that. And I didn't do any skills. I may have done one lease, you know, so it was just kind of like, I don't know. And so what I did is I took the time to research different ways to make money in real estate. I was like, okay, I'm not really bearing any fruit here, really. And I didn't really feel guided
mm-hmm.
by the broker, you know, like hands-on like I thought it should be. And so I kind of did a lot of research, a lot of just due diligence in real estate. What could I do? How do people actually make money in real estate? And I wish that people would be honest with people up front instead of saying, oh, yeah, get your license. It'll be easy. It'll be fun. No, I think it's great to be honest and say, you know, it's going to take 2 to 3 years to still build clientele and really make money. So
yeah, it's a lot of work. It really is. But when you love people, it's it's worth it. So yeah.
I think so. And I'm glad I hung in there. I ended up working for Hilton Worldwide for a little while, doing like just customer service. I've always been really good at sales and customer service. I did that for a while, and then from there I said, you know what? Tied to a desk every day. It's so not my personality. I'm really a people person.
I get it.
And I love being among people and just, you know, interacting. And that was like a work from home, so I really, there was like no office. It was really not me. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to jump in. I think I've figured out how I want to make money and in real estate. And I just went kind of gung-ho again, but with like new information.
When I heard virtual real estate services, because, you know, we've been teaching people how to work virtually for years and also how to offer menu programs, because I believe in full traditional service, but I also believe in today's day and age people should have choices so they could pick a menu item, for example, or do a buyer rebate program, or maybe get in and sell the property themselves and just get in the MLS and then use us or brokers affiliates when needed. So when I heard virtual real estate services, I assumed hey, are they doing menu programs or virtually? And you said virtual real estate is mainly full service traditional, right? Right now?
Right, yes.
Good. And I think, I wonder if they'll start offering menu items to it, because it's, yeah. The name sounds
like
so, it's a great name. It's a great name, huh?
Yeah, and I think it draws a lot of people in, because I do get that question a lot, like, how is it going to go? You know, like, people want to know, how tech savvy is it? And I think when my broker started the firm, I believe it was cutting edge at the time, what she was doing, and I think it's grown organically.
Right.
Her roster has, and I don't know what the immediate plan is going to be, but I tell her, like, you know, maybe revamp the services or revamp the website a little bit, you know, a little more tech-friendly.
Well, no, it's fantastic, and I love the name, and if they want any help, that's what... Because it's really important when you're offering the flat fee to be able to offer traditional as well, and people to understand it so that they know what it's a win-win for both sides. So now, okay, so you're actually involved in multifamily acquisition, sales, residential, commercial. You've really learned a lot quickly and kind of digging out there in there, right? Congratulations. I guess it's fantastic when you get let everybody know you're in the industry and they trust you and you get in and really there's a lot of aspects to this business. So I want to kind of switch over and get into Detroit. So you know it so well, and I'm gonna Detroit. They call it Motor City. Let's see. It was long recognized as the historic heart of the American automotive industry. It took on the name Motor City. It said the state's automotive industry provided the model for mass production that other industries later adopted. Henry Ford pioneered the use of the assembly line in manufacturing automobiles. And that comes to my mind, and I think a lot of people, you know, when they hear Detroit, they're thinking automobile industry, right? And that was brilliant what they started. The Ford's Model T was the first car produced, et cetera. And then they started each person working on an assembly line, doing the same job for each car, which saved time. Now, of course, we have technology doing all that. Then you hear with Detroit, I'm just going to say a couple things. It says one of the descriptions that I pulled off the net, as we all do, it says it's the largest city in the Midwestern state of Michigan. Near downtown, the neoclassical Detroit Institute of Arts, which I'm sure you're well familiar with because it's famed for the Detroit industry murals painted by Diego Rivera and inspired by the city's ties to the auto industry. It's also the birthplace of Motown Records. I didn't realize that, whose chart-topping history is on display at their original headquarters, Hitsville, USA. There's actually Hitsville, USA right there. Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's about maybe like 6 minutes from the DIA, and it's actually undergoing right now a $51 million redevelopment.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I love it.
Amazing.
So tell us, can you still buy, I want to kind of go from, you know, the $10,000 properties up to, you know, could be several million or more. I was hearing, because I have my pulse on a lot of markets with what we do with the membership, but not in the way that you do firsthand in the market. That's why we always go specifically to, you know, affiliates or members to go firsthand. And what's going on? Like, can you still go and spend $10,000, renovate a place and get 70 out of it? Or is the rental market the best place to go for those types of properties? Give us a little bit of your take, for example, if an investor wants to come in.
Okay. So what I do work with a lot of investors right now. Currently, I would say on average, an investor could acquire something to rehab and rent back out for approximately in the $25,000 to $40,000 range, and I'm talking brick, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and it's going to probably need about, I'd say, $30,000-$40,000 on average. Of course, people like to say, "I want to get in, you know, for under $40,000, and I want to spend $20,000 on the rehab," and that sounds ideal, sounds fabulous. realistically, they come out probably just around $30,000-$35,000 on the rehab. So then you can turn around and either split depending on the neighborhood. For instance, there's the University District, or what they're calling the Live 6 District, near the University of Detroit, or Mary Grove College, and or the Avenue of Fashion, which is Livernois Avenue. And what's happening is in that area, you could rehab something probably for a return. I'd say you come about under 80 grand is what you'd get maybe out of it.
You get around, because in that area, you can still, so you could sell it for 80 even if you picked it up at 20 or 30 and put the rehab in. There's still properties available then.
Yeah. So that can work. That can definitely work. And I'll tell you, the pickings are slim right now in that area, but in an adjacent area that's getting ready to blow up, you could probably come in right around 30 grand. It's not going to probably go for, you know, you're not going to get 80 out of it, I don't think. Not yet, but maybe in another year or so. But then there's
so
some areas you can.
Really? So if you pay 30, how much work would you need to do to it? Probably.
You do about 20, 30. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
20, 30.
Are most of those being rented? Are they being rented, or are people flipping them?
Both. It's a mix. I would say it's heavy on the rental. I do have a lot of investors. Foreign investors are coming in as well, renting. But then you get a mix of some people who buy them, fix them, and then they flip them, and they're okay with, you know, pulling out just a little bit of a return. So maybe they might get $50,000 out of it or something like that. So
okay.
It just depends. A lot of my investors are doing that area and then moving closer to downtown, closer to an area called Growth Point. There is
Growth Point?
An area where, yeah. Are you familiar?
Okay.
Heard of that?
Yeah. Growth Point.
Yeah, it's east of downtown, and what happens in the area just before Ghost Point is you could probably come in still for, I'd say, 40,000-50,000, probably 3 or 4 bedroom, and you could get in there maybe 20,000, and I've just seen some properties going for 130,000 over there. So.
Oh, that's good. So people are really getting so you can still pick up. Are the $10,000 properties available or very slim picking?
Yeah, at $10,000, you're gonna do a lot of work, and I don't know if it's worth it. There is a package deal going in an area called Morningside that is like $5,000 per property right off the freeway.
Morningside?
It's a house. Yeah, Morningside.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Morningside and East English Village in that same area, and they're both east. You could probably, this particular package I'm talking about, there's like $5,000 a door. There's like 7 properties in an area close to the freeway. You're going to come in there and do a total rehab. You could probably sell the houses for, I would say, 50 grand. However, I think it'd be more prudent to rent them out in that area, because if you're going to do like a Section 8 in there where you know the money's going to come every month, that might be the smartest move. Yeah, and you probably get about 800 a month or so.
So 800 a month probably, and then as far as the renovation cost, do you think the ones you're buying for 5,000 you're going to probably have to put in, you said full renovation, but...
Oh, yeah.
So if you bought 7, you could pay $35,000 to pick them up, plus closing costs, commissions, et cetera. And then are they totally, like, just shells, or they just need to be completely gutted?
I think some of them are, some of them are not. You would need to probably come in just with the idea that you're going to redo the whole house. So I'd say you can get some kind of contractors, really, honestly, to do something under 1,000 square feet. These are all under 1,000 square feet. Houses that I'm discussing, you could get in there, and they could probably do it for under $40,000. So
That's
what
good.
I think it'd be. ideal to go ahead and run in that scenario.
See, you know, it's funny because you hear safety issues, good and bad, and unfortunately in our industry, we aren't allowed to say, well, this is a good area, this is a bad area. There's mm-hmm. laws against us discussing it. We have to tell people to go to the police department, you know, check out school system reports, which we can give them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's years and years ago, I used to say, well, you can sit at the, you know, because people would ask me these questions that there's no way I'm answering. And I would tell them I can't legally do this. You know, we're talking a long time mm-hmm. ago, too. And people can knock on doors. You know, they can go to shopping centers, go around, check out, do all their own due diligence. And it's a shame we're not allowed to say, well, this is safe or this isn't safe.
It's interesting. And I, you know, what I tell people if they ask me something in that area, I say, you know, it's a huge metro city, and so you have to make that decision for yourself because it's all about perspective. What might be safe to one person variable to one person it differs from person to person, perspective to perspective.
Exactly.
So, and then drive the area, and you tell me.
Right. It's exactly. It was so fun years ago. I'll just tell you real quick. It was probably late 80s, early 90s. And I was in Maryland. I used to sell a lot of my own listings all the time, constantly. And it was just because we got all our leads. It wasn't like today where Zillow's taking your leads and all the internet leads are going out to Wild Wild West. It was where you really took your own leads. You put a sign up. You ran print advertising. And so it was very easy to sell your own listing constantly. But I was working with one of the builders who was building a house, and it was literally right near railroad tracks. And mm-hmm. there was a single-family house that they were building, and there was a townhome development, like right there, like walking, you know, within, I'd say, 100 feet away, not that far, you know, right next mm-hmm. to it, no, close to it. And they were asking me, and I said, you know, I can't say, because I had lived with a house near the tracks once, and it didn't bother me because you kind of get used to this. But, of course, I said, why don't you go knock on doors? And I kid you not, the first door they knocked on was a railroad conductor, literally. And it was so funny. They ended up buying the house, building the house, living there for years. But, I mean, it's a true story. But it's funny, with our industry, we just can't. You know, we have to really be careful with what we say or not say, and we really need to get the people to do their due diligence. So in Detroit, what about the high-end areas, the most expensive areas? Where are they?
So I would say high-end areas are going to be your North Rosedale Parks or your Sherwood Forest. We also have Boston. It's a historic Boston Edison district. Those are kind of like the higher end areas, and and Palmer Park also are like mansions, huge spaces, huge lots, beautiful. You know, another thing Detroit is known for is our architecture, and so mm-hmm. that's where you're going to get into the historic architecture. But then also in consideration, when I'm dealing with investors, I have to let them know, you know, if you want to come in and renovate, you're going to have to work with a historical society. So that's another thought that you have to leave them with. And also I ask as an artist, as a creative, if they pay respect to, you know, or at least consider the architectural history that's there, you know.
That's a good point because, I mean, in different areas, you know, if it's 50 years, 100 years, historic, I mean, they have to – what do you – and in historic sections, many times rules are – this varies in different areas – that you can't, you know, you can't tear things down. You can only do certain things. What are you finding with that?
It's a challenging. It takes a special type of investor who's willing to do it, or, you know, they have the intrigue and the patience to deal with it, and also, you know, the maintenance fees, you know, as you wait on the historical society to get back or approve certain things, it does take time. Time is money, especially when you're sitting on property, you know, waiting on your return. So, you know, things like windows and a lot of the historical properties, you can't put, you know, standard windows in there. You have to be mm-hmm. true to, you know, certain standards.
Right.
So it is a consideration that you definitely should leave your client with. before they make a decision.
Do you find a lot of people in Detroit? What about the suburbs? Are a lot of people in this work in the city and work out, live out in the suburbs?
Oh yeah, definitely. I grew up in the suburbs, so I grew up about 35 minutes outside of Detroit, outside of downtown, and so I'm very familiar with that scene as well. But everything there is to do, you pretty much drive to the city. And now with a lot of the headquarters being downtown and such, people are driving, and then you see a lot of people coming back into the city. And along with that, a lot of people are patronizing new restaurants pop up every single week, it seems like. There's always tons of things to do. We've got the new Little Caesars Arena.
Nice.
High rises coming up. Yeah. So it's a lot of activity back and forth. Lots of traffic.
Lots of traffic. Well, people love things, and it's a population that starts to explode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It definitely
Does. Oh.
Well, tell us, because you hear the pros and cons with Detroit. Like, so if somebody is going to want to enjoy Seasons, I would think, right? Is there still a lot of corporations are coming back into Detroit? I don't know.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we've got CompuWare, we've got a ton of businesses that have come back in, and they're always looking, trying to get more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you recall Amazon. They were trying to get Amazon to come here. That was a very real consideration, a big deal. Got the huge Quicken Loans, like Dan Gilbert's, and all of that. Several large corporations have moved back into town. They keep coming. I think it's not going anywhere. We've got even like an H&M that's coming downtown, like right downtown proper. So that's opening soon. It's a big deal. We've got a huge Nike store. It's like a real legit downtown, like days of old, right, when there was the Hudson Building and all of this glory going on. It's looking a little more Chicago every day.
Is it?
Day. Yeah, it
wow.
is. I got to admit, as someone who lived in a large city and traveled a bit, it is more and more. You've got a whole bunch of boutique hotels downtown now. It's really coming along. It really is. It's astounding. Definitely a difference from when we first moved back from Brooklyn. It's completely different.
It's changed that much, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess with the government and the city and county and all, they're really bringing it back, huh? Trying to revive it?
Oh, yeah. So many incentives for businesses to come here, people to come and live, work, play here. You see a lot of it. But then you also see, there's things like such as we have to talk about insurance, right? So insurance in Detroit is astounding when it comes to auto insurance, right? So I would
Why?
Say for
so many accidents?
Like theft. I think a little, dare I say, redlining is just what it is.
Wait a minute. Let me back up a second. Okay, so the insurance is really high because you're talking about auto insurance is high?
Auto insurance is extremely high. So it's cost prohibitive to the point where I would say probably driving around a neighborhood, I would venture to say out of 10 cars, probably 5 don't have insurance.
Because of so many deaths? Because
it's so high. It just there's various reasons, historical reasons, and there's some rulings that they have changed laws, and there should be some change coming soon due to the change in residents. There's so many people coming back into the city. There's no way they can maintain the growth, right? The market growth,
right?
Without doing something
right.
about it. But currently, I would tell you for, say, my 2008 Infiniti G35, it's going to be, what was it, like $1,200 a month?
Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. $1,200
yeah.
a month? How is that possible?
Yeah. Exactly. It sounds outrageous, doesn't it?
Did you say 2008 or 18?
2008.
No way. I like the old. Yeah. I always keep my vehicles. I keep my vehicles forever. I'm like I just do. But
yeah.
but um, 1,200. Well, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So it's not. Is it not like that in the suburbs? Is it only in the city?
No. Yeah. So if so in say Waterford, Michigan, it's $220 a month.
Okay. So that doesn't make. How can people afford that?
I know. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I'm saying when you're riding around in the city, you could probably almost bet that out of 10 cars, five, at least five do not have proper insurance.
But they don't have, I know, I mean, many states require you have to have it or you can get a $100 a day fine. Or I mean, it varies
sure.
everywhere. So I'm assuming
sure.
they must not have that mandatory law, huh?
They do. Oh, no, they do. So I'm saying, you know, the realness of it, like I'm a straight shooter, Natalie, and the realness of the living is that many, many people cannot afford the auto insurance here. People do whatever, however they need to maneuver, but that's a very real consideration.
What about the property taxes? Are property taxes
so,
high, low?
I would say that they're not outrageous. And there's just, again, it varies. Detroit is such a unique animal when it comes to residential that it varies say within a mile if it varies because of the neighborhood pockets. So say you're in, I mentioned the Rosedale Park, so you could pay $3,000 or $4,000 a year in taxes. But say you go a half a mile and your taxes might only be, you know, in the next neighborhood over, not as affluent. Taxes might be $1,200 a year or less.
Right, so you have to really check that out. But the car, though, I don't understand how people can pay a $1,200 a month for car insurance. That's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you're talking $14,000, $15,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. It sounds so crazy when you say it out loud.
So
but,
you
dude,
is
yeah,
that that's for full coverage? Most people probably get liability after their car's paid off, or just.
Mm-hmm. Sure, full coverage, I would say, but still, most people I speak to, their insurance is higher than their car debt. Like, it's ridiculous. And Michigan is like one of those places where it is just, Detroit is
I've never heard
awful.
It. I mean, that is such news to me. I'm I kind of
mm-hmm.
try to stay, that is like, why would you, so when you have condo fees there, association fees, are they high too? Or I mean, it's a different question altogether.
Association fees? No, that's fine. Association fees vary, again, depending on where you are living. So, say, some of the properties, luxury properties right off the water, your condo fee next door could be, $2,000 a month. Crazy, right? But then
it could be 2,000. And I know in Honolulu we have really high fees a lot of times. Association
mm-hmm.
fees are high, but wow, amazing.
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, so this particular thing I'm talking about, this is like a really, really affluent building, the Detroit Tower.
Right.
And next door, you have Shoreline East, and the association fee there is like $400. So
right, depending on what they offer you and elevate, all the other, yeah. My, that kind of blew my bubble on Detroit. Now, it's just kind of very surprising that they can't come up with a fund or a way to do something about this insurance.
Well, the last that we heard is that there was something that was going to be done, some law that was passed. And forgive me, I don't have it in front of me. So things are supposed to be changing for the better. And I thought that it was the climate has changed, the residency makeup has changed, there's more people coming in. So you would have to do something about it in order to keep the market value there.
Of course. No, you have to. They have to. What about health insurance? I mean, health insurance is high everywhere. But is that it's pretty high. Nationwide, I think it's pretty high.
I think it's on par, I think it's on par with the rest of the country. I don't think that it's it's all outrageous.
I would imagine a lot of people try to live in the suburbs, I would think, and commute to work if they're going to pay that kind of money, huh?
Yeah, exactly. A lot, or, they may have their other, maybe they have more than one property and they use a different address. I don't know. You know, people get creative when you have to.
Yeah, I would imagine they have to get creative. You know, they have to be able to, or they're living with relatives or something. And I don't know, you know, just like with school systems. I mean, you always hear where people end up being in different places, but just to get into the better schools. Interesting. Yeah. So what do you love the most about Detroit?
Oh, I mean, easily, I love the people, the culture, the creative community, the differences. I mean, you meet so many different type of people. The fact that we're right next to a whole other country, so you get such a wide variety of experiences, and the people that you meet is just—it's phenomenal. Again, like you mentioned, the DIA, the Detroit Institute of Art, is a great piece of reference for learning. You know, Diego, you go in the there's a Diego Rivera court that you mentioned. I was going to bring it up if you did. And it's one of my favorite places. The artwork is just phenomenal. And then just speaking about it really speaks to part of the culture of Detroit, which is, of course, you know, the factories, the manufacturing, and the auto industry. And it's just such a phenomenal place to be considering architecture and all the great artists, Motown included, fine artists that come out of here. So it's just an amazing place.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It
sounds.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to come. You have to come visit Detroit. It's really you know, the food, the culture. Then you've got, you know, little pockets of places. You've got Southwest Detroit, a large Hispanic population, and that's seeing a lot of growth right now. The rents are up there. Like, you have Hubbard Farms over there, which is also along where the bridge is, because it goes right over to Canada. So there's the Detroit River that runs such a long way. It's so much life, you know, along the Detroit River, and so many different cultures that go right along the river there. It's like amazing.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It is.
That sounds great. How does everybody contact you?
Oh, I get a lot of text messages via email and text message mainly. My Instagram is @thestylishrealtor.
@thestylishrealtor.
My email is very simple. Nicole A. Realtor. I still stick with my @gmail, so I can use all my documents and everything there. It's great.
Awesome. Do you prefer that, but rather than the phone numbers? And of course, people know they can contact us at realtyuniversal.com, and we'll forward your information as well.
Perfect. My phone number is, it's fine. It's 248-251-2800.
Fantastic. We're coming to the end of the show. It flies by. I always say it's just too short. It's too short.
Good.
We didn't even have any commercial breaks. And
wow.
It goes by
super
fast.
Fun.
It really does. Hey, so this has been a pleasure, and I just want to, I'm thinking, on the multifamily investment units, big projects, or I guess, or do you find most the developers are coming into the city or the county or the outside of the city? It just depends on what their budget is, I would imagine, and what they're looking to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I just got an inquiry to locate some prime downtown real estate for a large international, the largest, a particular country's largest international real estate website that they have there, and they asked me to find them some permanent real estate so that they could do a huge development on par with the Hudson site development that Dan Gilbert's doing downtown. So I think a lot of people are coming in. I've had some educational companies approach me about doing a new headquarters, like sort of a B headquarters here. So again, you see a lot of the companies coming in wanting to be in downtown proper, wanting to be a part of the growth that's happening.
I love it. So, what do you have? Do you have a metro there? A lot of buses, or do a lot of people just go ahead and commute via the transportation system and not have cars?
No, you know what? That's a myth for the auto industry. there's no mass transit. We have the Q line, which is really, it's really cute, but that's about it. Like, it goes from the top of downtown to downtown, so it runs maybe like 3 or 4 miles. So you're better off. I mean, it's a motor city. You got to get some wheels.
You got to get a view. You got to get wheels. Well, I'll tell you, Uber's probably doing well there. I think I'd probably Uber around town if I come to visit.
I'll probably Uber everywhere. They've redone a lot of bike lanes, so, getting very European.
A lot of bicycling. That's what the government can do when they put in these, they put in some type of rail system. I know that would be difficult. It's easier said than done, but.
I wish that they would. And it's been on the table. It has been a talk for a while, but I don't know that they'll ever do it. The Motor City is the Motor City, so I don't know. We wish. We can hope and wish.
Motor City, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's So we are coming down to the end, and I'd love to have you back and definitely stay in touch, and we can do some referrals, and so we can get you in some of our stuff too. And it just, I love the international part as well. And definitely want to stay in touch. So what would you tell somebody if they said, okay, my husband and my four children, and of course we know, the audience knows too, and we have a lot of people that listen that are agents and brokers, so I can't speak for the general audience, but I can speak for agents and brokers, that we aren't allowed to tell you some of the information that you as a buyer or seller would want in geographics and crime and things, but we can get you the information. So someone says, hey, they're calling you up, and I want to buy a nice house close to the city but not in the city. And I've never been to Detroit ever, haven't even visited. We're going to visit. My husband just got a job transfer. What are you going to tell them about Detroit?
I'm going to tell them that it's a great place to have a family. I'm going to tell them that there's lots of different areas to choose from, depending on where they want, what they want to do, what their preferences, their lifestyle preferences are, that we can definitely find a home for them in the city where they'll be happy. And I would love to expose them to the things that fit their lifestyle. And I'm one of those people where when people come into town and they're not familiar, I love to show them my Detroit, or, what they want, their life to be in Detroit from my perspective and what I know. So it's always fun because I love meeting new people. It's always great to hear what people's needs are and show them how I would accommodate that in the city. It's a great place to be.
It sounds like it, except for with the car insurance. But that's one area they can work on.
Yeah.
They can figure it out. Maybe there's pros and cons in other ways and give credits, or they'll figure it out. That's it definitely is Motor City too, right? That's so cool.
This change coming for sure.
There's got to be a way to figure all that. It is. And Motown Records, that's so cool.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to go on Friday. There's like a singing competition that I'm going to go to.
Oh, are you doing, you sing too?
No. I am a dancer, though. I do a West African dance.
Good.
A free community class every Tuesday. I do that for the community, but no, not a singer.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. That ought to be fun.
Yeah, but I'll be at Motown
on
Friday. So. Yeah.
Good for you. Awesome. Get back into that history. That history is just never, it's so neat to go to that and get into something and just think what they were thinking back then, huh? How they were feeling back then, and that's kind of got like, that one thing about music. Music just soothes the soul, doesn't it? Forever and ever and ever. Music's just such so great. I love it, love it, love
it's
it. Well, this has been.
We have Broadway there now. We do have Broadway.
They have that's beautiful. You have to have Broadway and shows. We are coming to the end. I always hate to say that at the end, too, because I feel like I'm cutting everybody off, It's like, but I want to have you back, stay in touch, because it's a small world. We can do it easily, right? Between the internet and phones, it is a small world. Thank you, Nicole Carter, and this has been a pleasure, and hope to talk to you soon. You have a wonderful holiday and rest of your year, and hope to talk to you at least by next year, right? I'd love to be able to say that this time of year.
Absolutely. You take care. Enjoy your holiday.
You.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.